As we turn to God's Word tonight, we're going to be reading from Romans 16, but I'm not going to read it just yet, because tonight we're bringing to an end our series on being relevant today from the book of Romans. And we're going to look at chapter 16, which is a chapter like no other chapter in the Bible. About half of it consists of personal notes and greetings. That's how Paul usually includes all of his letters, but this one here is different because it's a lot longer than most of them. He asked the Roman Christians to greet about 26 individuals, two families, three house churches. You know, he seems to know an awful lot of people from Rome, even though he had never visited there in his life. But actually, that's not very surprising because a lot of the Roman Christians had been exiled to different countries, and that's how he got to know Priscilla and Aquila, who were tent makers and worked along with them in other churches. But you know, a lot of the time we treat these personal greeting sections of the Bible a wee bit like the begat sermons or chapters in the Bible. I'm reading through First Chronicles at the moment, and it's just who begat who and who begat the other people, and you just want to skim over them and move ahead. But actually, there's a lot in there whenever we actually take the time to look and see what is being said. The people represented in the first 15 verses of this chapter are just average, ordinary people. They're everyday people. This group of people come from all walks of life. There's a variety of ethnic groups. There's some of them are very well off, very rich. Others seem to be very poor, actually slaves. But there's something special about each one of them that makes their names special and why they're actually spoke of in this chapter and why we're talking about them tonight. See, whenever we read Romans 16, we read more than just a list of greetings. In this chapter, we see that God has a purpose for each one of us. And I want us to see tonight that he's a purpose for you and for me. Being from an old Presbyterian background, I've got 3 points. The first one is simply this. God is able to use you, whoever you are, wherever you are, and whatever you do. God is able to use you, whoever you are, wherever you are, and whatever you do. See, there are all kinds of people, as mentioned, listed in this first 15 verses. 26 names and all, as I said. It's significant to note that actually 10 of them are women. In Romans, it presents a bit of a problem for some people who are against women ministry. Because you wouldn't expect Paul to refer to women in the way that he does here. It begins in verse 1. It says, I commend you, our sister Phoebe, a deacon in the church at Sensary. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help she may need from you. For she has been a benefactor to many people, including me. That word that's transferred, deacon, in this version, it's also translated as servant in other verses. So you may read it in your Bible as servant, but it's actually the word itself in the original Greek is the word used for deacon. Remember the culture in which this letter was written, and remember the role that women had in society in Rome. You know, it wasn't built on the idea of equality. Women didn't have any rights. They didn't have the same status as men. So how is it that Paul actually refers to her here as a deacon? Also, verse 7, Paul refers to Andreas and Junia as being outstanding among the apostles. And again, some people argue and they say, but how can they be? Because there only was, the apostles were only the 12 disciples and Paul, if you go along that line. But here, you know, we're not going to get into that tonight, because the important thing about these references isn't the title that they imply, but the actions that they actually describe. The word deacon means servant, to be a servant. And that can apply to any Christian at all. You don't have to hold any office. You can be a servant for Jesus anytime. The word apostle means to be a messenger or a commissioned missionary, ambassador for Christ. We use that word to describe a title, but it also describes an action. It describes something you do. And the point is that we don't need to worry about titles. We just need to get involved in some kind of service. What we see in this list is that God can use anyone. He can use absolutely anyone. Paul mentions these 10 women specifically by name. He talks about Phoebe being a servant of the church, worthy of honor. He says that she has been a benefactor to many people, including me. He mentions Priscilla and Aquila. They're a married couple. Read about them in the book of Acts. They were tent makers who worked along with Paul. They were prepared to devote their lives to service of others. And actually, Paul says that they actually risked their lives for other people. And Paul would say that there is a church meeting here in their home now. He mentions Andronicus and Junia, probably another married couple who were missionaries. He mentions a woman named Mary, whom he says worked very hard for you. He mentioned the mother of Rufus, whom he says has been a mother to me. Paul also mentions those who belong to the house of Aristobulus, and the Christians in the household of Narcissus. He's referring to the slaves who work for these people. It's not just the rich people he's interested in, it's all these people. He mentions Rufus there, who is possibly the same Rufus as mentioned in Mark 15:21, whose father was an African from Cyrene who carried the cross of Jesus. There's a reference to Gaius, who allowed Paul to stay at his house as a guest. But here's the point. In the Christian church, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what kind of background you come from. Doesn't matter what sort of limitations society will put on you, because they will try to put all sorts of limitations on you. God is able to use you. God is able to use me. Your contribution to the kingdom of God is important. It's very important, because it makes a difference. Do you know what? I've heard people saying, you know, look, all I can do is make a cup of tea at the drop-in or the mums and tots. You know, there's not much to that. And you know what? There may not be much to it, but it makes a difference. All I can do is deliver a few leaflets, or maybe deliver the church magazines. You know, that may seem small, but it actually makes a difference. All I can do is give a neighbor a lift to church on a Sunday. Makes a difference. All I could do is visit a few old people in the home during the month. That's not too much. All I can do is whatever to serve the Lord, and it's not maybe much. All I can do is give a tithe, 10% of my wages. It's not so much, because I don't earn that much. I want to tell you tonight, it is much. It is much. It makes a difference. It makes a big difference. And God is able to use us in all those ways, in all different ways. It's what changes us. It's what makes the church relevant to people outside these walls. Do you want to make yourself even more relevant? Then make this your prayer. God, use me more. Give me more and more opportunities to serve you, be serving others. Joe, on the 20th of July, 1969, Whenever Neil Armstrong walked on the moon, all the focus of the entire planet was on him. Some of you may not be old enough to remember that, but I had to remember watching it in black and white TV. As he walked on the moon, a statement, one small step for man. And that statement is known now, generations later, and it will be known generations upon generations later on. But what often isn't remembered is the fact that that Apollo expedition took place because a large number of committed people, individuals who sacrificed daily, night and day for years to make that happen. Neil Armstrong was the one who gets all the credit now. He's the one that everybody's talking about. But he wouldn't have been able to walk on the moon if it wasn't for those other 200,000 people. You know what? They helped in big ways and small ways. The same way as we help in big ways and small ways about the church. But it's what makes us relevant. And God is able to use us, whoever we are, wherever we are, whatever we do. And I encourage you to seek out the opportunities. Do you know what? There is no end of opportunities in this church. If you think you can't do anything, just ask David McLean, he'll soon find something for you. Secondly, I want to look at God is able to work his power through you. You know, sometimes we forget that we're engaged in a battle. But whenever we read the Bible, we find out who the enemy is and what he does. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." So there exists in this world an evil force intent on tripping us up, intent on making us fall. He brings temptations into our lives. He brings conflicts and difficulties. He brings trials and tribulations. He's the source of a good lot of our problems. But I don't want to talk too much about the devil tonight because I don't want to give him more credit than what he should have. But we need to remember two things about him. The first thing is simply this, he never takes a break. He never takes a break. He's always making trouble for God's people. But the second thing about him is he is ultimately a defeated foe. He lost the battle in Calvary, and he'll lose that battle in our lives too. Listen to what Paul says in verse 20 of Romans 16. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Paul says that God will soon crush Satan. That means the problems that we're facing today will eventually be solved. One way or another, they'll be solved. It means that the obstacles stand between us and living the life that we want to live for God will be sorted. They'll be overcome. It means that we will be able to triumph over our tribulations. We will endure in those difficult days. We'll be able to stand whenever we can do nothing else. And through the power of Jesus, Satan is defeated. He is defeated. His future is certain. But then again, so is ours. So is ours. If we cling to Christ. If we cling to Christ. Paul says that Satan will be crushed under your feet. Do you know what that means? It means that you're the one that does the stamping. Satan is defeated by God's power at work in our lives. As God works in us and works through us, Satan will be defeated. You know, I have to admit that there's been times in my life whenever I faced problems, and my prayer simply been, God, sort this out. God, take this thing away. Lord, I just don't want to look at it. And you know what he says? He says, no, you make it go away. I'd give you my power. I'd work through you. But this situation has to be crushed under your feet. You have to deal with it. Do you know, at this time of the year, we hear those words, no surrender, pretty often. I'm not going to talk about the way we hear them there, but tonight I want us to apply them to our spiritual lives. Because surrender should not be part of our spiritual vocabulary. We should not surrender to Satan and his ways. Remember in earlier on in Romans chapter 8, Paul reminds us that no matter what life throws at us, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. No matter what it is, we are more than conquerors because of Christ. See, God will work his power through us. He will crush the enemy under our feet. That means you need to put on the boots and we need to get ready to step out hard. So how do we do that? Well, it means we get involved in the problem. We don't run away from it. We don't just wait for God to make everything right. We get busy letting him make things right through us. If the problem's financial, more than likely a check's not going to pop in through the door that's going to sort the problem out. No, tomorrow morning. It may well do. It has done in the past, but more often than not, it doesn't. It means we have to get involved in the situation, do something about it. If it's a health issue, we have to get involved in the situation. We need to start taking care of ourselves better and learn doctors to take care of ourselves better. If you have a teenager who's in rebellion, you don't just zone out in front of the TV and just ignore them, let them run wild. You start taking whatever steps is necessary to heal that relationship. But you may say, look, you don't know what problems I'm facing in my life. I just can't sort them out myself. Well, it's true, I don't know what problems that you're facing in your life. But I'll tell you what he does. He knows. And it's probably also true that you won't be able to solve a problem by yourself. But God can solve the problem through you. He will crush the enemy under your feet. That's what the Bible says. So let God's power work through us. Because if the Bible says it, we need to believe it. And we need to act on it. So don't give up. Don't surrender. Don't turn back. Make your prayer, God, work through me so as I can get through this. Finally, God is able to establish you. Verse 25 says, now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past. Maybe you don't feel all that much established tonight. Maybe you're more aware of your weaknesses than what you are of your strengths. I know I am. You can see how easily that you would slip. You can see how you could fall so easily. And that's good. That is good. We must never forget our fallibility. But neither should we forget God's ability to get us through whatever we're in. God's power can help us to do as we should. It can make us strong. It can teach us how to stand. You know, just after I left school, I started working in it was a steel fabrication factory. I was wanting to join the police and had a couple of years, so I had a stack of jobs in between, but one of them was working in this fabrication factory. And one of my jobs there was to operate this cutting machine. It was a newfangled machine that did all the measuring and all for you. You had to press buttons and it done it all for you, basically. That's way back. But the thing about it was, before I did any cutting, I had the measuring tape out and it was measuring up, and then I got it ready to cut and it was back measuring up to make sure it was right. And because I didn't want to make a mistake, because if you did, you suffered the wrath of the foreman. And believe you me, I did a couple of times, so I know what it was like. I'd got things wrong at times. But over a period of time, I become comfortable. It becomes second nature to me to do it. It was just normal. I became established in the job. And the same way God can establish you, He is able to make you strong in your walk with Him. You may be struggling with somewhere in life right at this minute, but if you will let Him, if you put your boots on and start taking the steps that are necessary to solve a problem, He will work His power through you. He will establish you. You know, we won't have to fight the same battles every day in our lives. You know, that's not to make us overconfident in our ability, but it is to make us confident in God's ability. He can work through us. He can change our lives. We need to be praying, God, make me strong, establish me so as I can step out in your power, and then step out. In concluding this message, and indeed the whole series, Paul actually reiterates the themes that he's been teaching the whole way through the whole book of Romans here. We don't live by our power. We live by God's power. We're not saved because of our goodness or our good works. We're saved because of His goodness and His grace. We don't live to serve ourselves. We live to serve Him through serving others. See, Romans is a testament of faith in action. It tells us what to believe and how to live out those beliefs. And if we as individuals live out our lives by the book of Romans, we will be relevant. And the church will be relevant to our society. And we will see the difference. Let's just pray. God's just a simple prayer tonight. Use us, God. Work through us, Lord. Make us strong and help us to stand for Jesus in our society. Make us relevant, that we may win others for you. In your precious name we pray. Amen.